Ted Pearson.
Hello, Jimmy. Friends, standing beside me is the head of the commissary, where everyone here meets for lunch. Her job is to provide meals for the stars, executives, directors, writers, cameramen, and extras, which makes her practically house mother to the entire MGM family, Mrs. Frances Edwards.
Good evening, everyone.
Now, Mrs. Edwards, what's the size of that official family of yours? How many persons do you serve on an average day?
About 2,200.
Ooh, you serve 2,200 people a day. My, that's a lot of people.
I should say it is a lot of hungry people.
Speaking of food, how many cups of Maxwell House coffee does your family drink every day?
Well, let's see. Of course, beside the commissary, we have a coffee shop adjoining where the stars and others drop in for coffee and a bite to eat during the afternoon. I'll tell you about what some of our famous people like to eat with their coffee soon, sometime later. But to get back to you, we serve from 2,400 to 2,600 cups of Maxwell House coffee a day, not counting what we send out to companies shooting at night. And I'd say that's a lot of good coffee.
Agreed, Mrs. Edwards. It is good coffee. But tell me, is Maxwell House an economical coffee for you to buy?
I've certainly found it so. You know, using coffee in the quantities I do, I find I get more full-flavored cups per pound of Maxwell House because of the way it's packed in the vacuum can. Why, of course, it's always roaster fresh, not only when I buy it, but when I use it.
Thank you, Mrs. Edwards. And remember, friends, you too may buy as many cans of Maxwell House at a time as you like, whether 3 pounds or 300 pounds, as Mrs. Edwards does. And always know the last can you open will be just as fresh and full-flavored as the first can. And this full flavor means full value, means more cups per pound of Maxwell House, more of that rich, rare goodness of this coffee that's always good to the last drop.
Meredith Wilson continues our good news of 1938 with one of the best tunes from the Jeanette MacDonald, Alan Jones musical, The Firefly, The Donkey Serenade. Stars here on stage 30 tonight, but there's one star who was here before any of them. He's made a picture with all of them, I guess, and there's not one single one of them that hasn't learned something from him. Tomorrow, his latest picture, The Bad Man of Brimstone, will open in your favorite theater, and he's here tonight to tell us a little about it. Wally Berry.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy.
They tell me Brimstone turned out great, Wally. What kind of a part do you play in it?
Well, let me see. I guess I play one of those tough guys.
Well, how tough are you?
Well, I was tough enough to shoot myself in the leg. They call me Trigger Bill. That's when the picture starts. But along comes a young fellow named Jeff Burton that's going to clean me up. And who do you think he turns out to be?
Who?
Well, my own son.
Oh, I see.
So I can't be tough with him, can't shoot my own kid, or even though he's aiming to ruin me and my gang.
Well, that's quite a situation.
Yeah, that's a great spot. The boy doesn't know I'm his paw, so he beats me up and I can't do anything about it. The worst part of it is that I got to fight on the side of the law and order just to help him. Well, I finally become a sort of a mayor, and one of the big scenes of the picture is where he's trying to arrest my crooked sheriff, Black Jack McCready. Both of them, my kid, Jeff, and Black Jack, are standing in front of a bar about to pull the guns on each other. There
we go. You Black Jack McCready?
Which I'm the same. You're the new marshal, Jeff Burton, huh? I've been craving to meet you for a long while.
Black Jack, it's my duty to order you just once to give up them guns.
Make your fight.
Okay, if that's the way you want it.
Drop them guns. Drop them guns. I'll kill the both of you.
Stay where you are, Bill.
Keep out, Bill. This time I'm doing it my way.
There's neither of you doing nothing. Me and Trigger Bill, I'm still a head man around here. Any shooting that either one of you starts, I'll finish.
You told me you killed this fellow, Bill.
Well, what about it?
You lied to me.
Of course I lied to you. I felt like lying. I reckon I relish it. Better start relishing it too, Blackjack. You're getting bigger than your boots.
Get out of the way, Bill. I'm going to start shooting.
I'm standing right here, McCready.
Get out of here, Bill. I don't need your help.
Jeff, you hold your jaw. I've had enough of you horning into my town. What'd you have to come back here for anyways? You don't belong here.
Your sheriff's resisting arrest, and it's my job to take him.
You want your first job to be a murder? Now stand where you are. I'll get the shooting irons and Blackjack.
Well, I'll make it fast, then.
Give me them shooting irons, Blackjack.
Now, wait a minute, Bill. Just don't come no further, because I'd just as leave kill the both of you together. You ain't getting by with this twice.
I'm getting by with anything that I've a mind to. You remember this one thing. When you pull them triggers, it'll be the last move that you'll ever make, because I'll throw my brand into you before you hit the floor.
What are you making this fight for?
Can't them details wait until after the election? Sure. I'll tell you about this later. We can show Brimstone that we're honest citizens. That any of our party can stand a legal trial without fear or favor.
You see sense in that.
So you're surrendering to the marshal, Blackjack. McCready, justice has got to be done.
All right.
I knew you'd say it my way, Blackjack. Marshal, there's your man.
It was mighty fine, partner.
Well, thanks, Tenderfoot. How long would you say it took that scene to play?
Well, about 3 minutes, I guess. Why?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jimmy, it's not right. Nobody's ever seen those people who work behind the scenes. Nobody ever hears about them, but without them, no picture could be made.
Yeah, that's true, but I guess there's not much you can do about it.
Yes, sir, it is. We can at least give the public a chance to meet them.
Yeah, well, I think that's a swell idea, Wally.
Well, that's what I thought. So I'd like to have you meet the man who made the sets for The Bad Man of Brimstone, the art director of MGM, Cedric Gibbons.
Thank you, Wally.
Ah, a new Cedric Gibbons, huh? Tell me, Cedric, what do you think is the most important person connected with the making of pictures? Huh?
There's no question, Wally. The scene designer. No doubt about it. What would a movie be like without sets?
Well, a picture like Brimstone, nature made all the mountains, trees, and things like that.
But unfortunately, Wally, nature didn't make those things according to script. So we even had to design and build nature's handiwork. We had to fix nature up the same as any actress, so she's camera-proof.
So a designer can make a tree, too, huh?
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we've got to build whole cities or towns. I don't suppose you gave it much thought, but how do you suppose the town of Brimstone found itself on the MGM lot when you were shooting Bad Man of Brimstone? We built it. Planned it just as if we were building a real town where people actually live.
Well, too bad some of those props weren't as real as the town.
Which props do you mean, Wally?
Well, in the saloon, you know, the bottles.
Well, we're only worried about the camera. If a substitute for the real thing photographs as well and is more economical, we use it. In this case, what was in those bottles photographed perfectly.
Yeah, you should have tasted it.
You're not supposed to drink the props, Wally.
Yeah, well, don't worry. It's the last time. Well, Cedric, I'm glad you were here tonight. I wish I could bring all of them, like I said before, hundreds of them that you never see. As for Cedric Gibbons and myself, I like to say so long.
All right, Ted, turn. Pearson, there's that good old smell of coffee again. Must be coming from that old Maxwell house right across the way.
Mm-hmm. Sure is appetizing, isn't it, Jimmy? Let's invite the folks in, shall we, to have a steaming cup of Maxwell House coffee?
That's a swell idea, Ted. Yeah, let's all go over and enjoy again our favorite custom, a cheery, friendly cup of Maxwell House coffee. And while we're about it, this is a good chance to say Happy New Year to everybody. May the year 1938 bring you health and happiness and prosperity. And, Meredith, while we're in for a cup of Maxwell House, how about a tune?
Pause now for station identification.
KFI, Los Angeles.
This is Jimmy Stewart again, and we're continuing our good news of 1938 with Wally Berry, Myrna Loy, Frank Morgan, and right now you're going to hear from Franny Bryce. Imagine a small apartment in New York City. At home, Mr. and Mrs. Sam Garfinkel. And they're worried about money.
Sam, we owe 2 months' rent. There's no food in the house. When you gonna go out and look for a job?
Shady, one of these days my inventions are going to make me rich. I don't work like other men. I work with my brain. Even when I was a night watchman, I invented something to keep out boilers.
Yeah, and you couldn't get out yourself.
Listen. For all you know, I may even get rich yet from that sweepstakes ticket I bought.
Don't mention that ticket. You took my last $2.50 that I was saving for a permanent wave. Sweepstakes. Come in.
Mrs. Garfinkel, a cablegram from Ireland.
A cablegram from Ireland? Thank you. Sam, is somebody in Ireland interested in your invention?
Why not? It's an automatic potato peeler. Come on, Nu, open up already.
Wait. I'll read it to you.
Oi, Sam, a terrible thing has happened.
Well, what's the matter?
Oi, we won the sweepstakes.
So what are you crying?
Because I can't believe it.
Don't be foolish.
Keep... Look at me. I'm calm. Sweepstakes, we won. Yippee! What are you laughing like a goyle? Sam, we're rich.
Yes. If our horse wins, we'll collect $150,000 and retire.
You know, Sam, for the first time since I know you, you look handsome.
Ah.
Hey, what's the name of our horse?
Sahara.
Sahara, that's my sister.
Not Sahara, Sahara. And if Sahara wins, then we're rich. Not before.
Come in.
How do you do? My name is Sanford. I represent a London syndicate that buys up winning sweepstakes tickets. I've come to make you an offer for your ticket.
Well, how much would you offer, for instance?
I'm willing to give you $5,000 for half interest, so you still have a chance to win on the other half.
Well, what do you say, Sadie? Would you like to sell half the ticket or keep it all?
If it was possible, I'd like to do both. But you can't have your ticket needed.
You'll have to decide right away, as they're soon running the race. And once the race starts, it will be too late.
Quick, Sam, turn on the radio. Maybe they're broadcasting the race.
All right, Sadie.
This is Brad Bradley speaking from Aintree, where the Grand National Steeplechase is due to start any moment. The weather's cloudy, but the track is fast, and Sahara's the favorite.
Sahara's favorite?
Yes, she's the favorite.
Mr. Stanford, you have the nerve to offer me $5,000 when the horse that's named after my sister is favorite.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Garfinkel, that's the offer. As long as the track is fast, Sahara is the favorite. But should it start to rain and the track gets muddy, Sahara hasn't got a chance. She can't run in the mud. Goodbye.
Sam.
What's the matter, Sadie?
Sam, my corn started to hurt. Oi. I think it's going to rain.
Well, if your corn hoits here, how would it rain in England?
Well, I got a very big corn.
Quiet. Listen to the radio.
The horses are coming up for a start. There are dark clouds gathering.
Oi, my goodness.
There's a thunderstorm brewing.
Oi, I should have sold half for 5,000.
There's a heavy downpour of rain. It's a thunder shower.
Oi, I would take less now.
Ah, but the sun is peeping through the clouds again, and it looks as though the race may beat the storm.
Oi, I wouldn't take 50,000.
Ah, the barriers which it bear off. Sahara shoots right out the lead.
Sarah, mine, darling. My sweetheart run, and don't let them catch you. Get up, Sarah!
The horses have raced. Sahara's in the lead, but it's beginning to rain again.
Oi.
It's beginning to rain in earnest, but Sahara is still out in front. My gentleman second and Red Rover third. But now my gentleman is in front.
Oi.
Now Sahara is in front. Now my gentleman's in front. Sherrod.
What kind of a gentleman? Don't let a lady go first. Come on, Sherrod, I'm begging you. If you are true, sister, you wouldn't let me down. Get up, Sherrod.
That rain's coming down in torrents. What a storm. Wait, I think Sahara fell.
Oh, yeah, you're sure?
No, it wasn't Sahara. It was too light. They're coming from the stretch. They're neck and neck. Four horses are practically even at the finish. There'll be a nose finish as sure as you're born.
If it's a nose finish, Sahara will win.
The decision was very, very close. We'll have to wait for the judge's confirmation.
Oi, Sam, I can't live to it.
Here's the decision. The winner...
Yeah, yeah.
Red Rover.
Oi. Well, we wouldn't get 150, but Sarah. But Sarah's surely second, so we'll get 75,000.
Second?
Yeah, yeah.
Blue Knight.
Aye. So we wouldn't get 75,000, but Sarah's surely third, so we'll get 50,000.
Third?
Yeah, yeah.
My gentleman.
Oh, you call that bomber gentleman? What happened to Sarah?
She's out of the money. The sweepstakes is over, and now the sun is out.
Yeah, and so are we.
Well, Edie Adams. Hey, what's on your mind?
Listen, Jimmy, look up yonder, way up in the sky for a heart to ponder, for a little thing for me.
Okay, Edie, now I'm looking up in the sky, but I don't see anything up there.
What's the matter? Are you blind? Come on, Skipper. Tell me what you see up there beside the Big Dipper. Hurry, tell me what you see.
Well, really, Edie, I don't see anything up there in the sky except maybe the moon.
Well, of course, that's what I'm talking about. Ooh, put that moon in the sky just to work its miraculous charm. It isn't fair. Who put it there without putting someone in my arms? Who left me all by myself to sit around and wonder? Who left me up on the shelf? Who is responsible for that wonder? Who put the moon in the sky just to frown and look down from above? It isn't fair. Who put it there without giving me someone to love?
Now, listen, Edie, you should know the moon's really not to blame. It's all your fault, and you forgot to play the wishing game.
What wishing game?
Well, Edie, that's the moon up there, and you can make a wish to anybody, anywhere.
Well, Jimmy, just for fun, I'm going to try that wishing scheme.
Oh, you are, huh?
Here I go. I'll wish on the moon to bring me a dream or two. Here I stand once more upon the sand of Manicora, moon enchanted.
Have you ever been in New York City on a kind of a, one of those nights you don't know exactly what to do to have a little fun, and you've finally finally dropped into a ticket broker's office to find out what good shows there are in town? Well, if you have, you'll appreciate this George S. Kaufman, Mark Conley skit we're going to present now, with Frank Morgan as the customer and Handley Stafford as the broker. Now, the scene is a ticket agency, and it's on Broadway opposite the Lowe State Theater, and the ticket broker is behind his desk, and his telephone has just started to ring.
Hello? McTyson Ticket Agency. Two for the Astor Theater? Yes, they'll be $18 apiece. Well, why so much? Well, you see, I have to get them from another broker. And he has to get them from me. Sorry.
Oh, is this the McTyson Ticket Agency?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. As long as the name was printed on the window, it'd been silly to be some other place, wouldn't it? Of course, are you Mr. McTyson?
Yes, sir, and what can I do for you?
Well, of course, you don't know me from Adam, but, Adam would look a good deal older than I do. I said, you should know me from Adam. After all, I'm dressed. Yes. Well, I might as well tell you, my name is Pritchard, Mr. Pritchard.
How are you, Mr. Pritchard?
Oh, there's a little matter I'd like to take up with you if you've got the time.
At your service.
Yeah, well, thanks. Frankly, it's about theater tickets.
I see. Well, I like frankness, Mr. Pritchard. I believe in it.
Good. Then we can talk business.
Absolutely.
You sell theater tickets here?
That's right.
Yes, well, you're looking at a customer.
All right, sir. And what would you like to have? We have tickets for all the leading theaters.
Well, could I see some?
Now, here you are. I don't think you'll find a finer collection of tickets anywhere in the city. Now, just take a look at that one.
Oh, say, that's lovely.
Kind of rub your hand over it.
Oh, it's smooth as velvet.
Nice?
Yes, sir. That certainly is a nice ticket. Mm-hmm. Have you any blue ones?
No, I haven't. Been quite a demand for blue ones this season. They go pretty early.
Yes, well, this is a nice ticket, all right. I hope you don't think I'm funny, but there's one under there that I'd just love to have.
Why, certainly. Yes. This one?
No, not that. You're warm, though.
This one?
No, not that. This is fun.
well, now wait. Don't tell me.
No, I won't.
This little fella?
That's it.
Well, I certainly want to congratulate you. You've picked out a very pretty ticket. Very pretty.
Yes, it doesn't break a set, does it?
No.
Well, may I hold it? I just want to see if it fits my pocketbook.
Why, sure.
Yes, say, it fits perfectly. Looks cute there, too, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Yeah. Oh, see this picture in my wallet? That's mm-hmm. my niece.
You don't say.
Yes. Homely, isn't she?
Yes. But getting back to tickets, I think you'll like this one. It costs $5.79.
How much?
$5.79, with the tax.
Oh, no. Well, I'm afraid I couldn't. No.
Too high price?
Yes, that's
well, how about this one?
Well, that looks all right.
The $3.84.
Oh, no. That is still...
Still too high, huh?
Yes.
How about $2.67?
No.
Not $2.67 either.
No, you see, I figure in these times...
All right, sir, I think I have just what you... Oh, here you are, sir. $1.89.
No, I wouldn't pay that.
You won't pay $1.89?
I couldn't think of it.
I see. But you want to see a show.
Oh, yes.
And you won't pay $1.89?
No.
Uh-huh. Maybe you'd like a pass.
Oh, do you handle those?
Oh, sure. Just for cases like this.
Good shows, of course.
Oh, yes.
Well, that sounds all right. Yes, I'll take one, if you don't mind.
That's the spirit. Now we understand each other.
Oh, do we? Well, I'm not a hard man.
No. I knew you'd listen to reason.
Yeah.
Well, now we can talk business.
Yes, sir. What's your proposition?
Well, we've got a very nice list of shows here. All depends on what you'd like. How about a good mystery play?
Oh, no, I don't think I'd care to see one. They frighten me.
All right, sir. What do you say to a straight drama?
No, that's tiresome, don't you think?
Well, it's up to you, sir. We want to please you and get your repeat order.
Well, I'll tell you the kind of thing I'd like to see. Of course, I don't think there's anything just like it playing right now.
Oh, that's all right. Maybe we could get it up for you.
Well... You remember the Ziegfeld Follies?
Oh, yes.
And Grand Hotel, that was awfully good.
I remember.
Yes, well, I'd just love to see a sort of a combination of the two.
I see. Just a minute till I'll write that down.
Yes.
Now, let's see. Ziegfeld Follies and Grand Hotel. There.
Yes, that ought to be good. Yes, sir, I'd like to see that. And I'll tell you something. I'll give you a very valuable pointer for your business. There's hundreds of others just like me. People would flock to a show like that.
At the same price.
Yes, sir. Mm. You know, this is the way to get people back to the theater.
Yeah, probably get quite a run out of it. Now, whom would you like to have in it?
Oh, well, now, there you are. That's a big thing.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I want to think about that for a minute.
Oh, plenty of time.
Yes, let me see. Eddie Cantor.
Well, he's working, but maybe it could be arranged for one night.
Oh, I think if he were made to understand.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
Yes.
Eddie Cantor.
Alfred Lund. I like him a lot.
Alfred
Lund. Beatrice Lilly?
Oh, there I have to disappoint you. She's out of town.
Oh, couldn't make it, you think, huh?
Well, she's in Pittsburgh. Never get here for one night.
Oh, well, I'm kind of disappointed about that.
Oh, you're not offended?
No, 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 but I can't say I like it.
Well, perhaps we could put on another show later and have her.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, I don't want to lose you.
No. Now then, to get back. The Marx Brothers.
Marx
Brothers. Yes.
I'll see if I can get them.
Yes. And, oh, yes, you remember I showed you a picture of my niece, Caroline.
I remember.
Yes, she's very talented. I've often thought that if she could have her chance, you know, this might be a very good opportunity for her.
Do you think we can get her?
Oh, yes. Yes, now, let me see whom we've got. We've got
Eddie Cantor,
Alfred Lund, the Marx Brothers, and Caroline. Yes, that's a very well-balanced bill.
No, I like it.
Now, about the theater, could they have some place handy?
Just as you say.
Because one of the troubles of the stage today is that they build a theater so far from people's homes.
I'll tell you what. Suppose I have them come up to your house.
Yes.
Then you won't have to move.
Oh, that'd be splendid.
Mr. Pritchard, you said?
Yes, Eugene Pritchard, 718 and a half West 168th Street. Ring Friedman's bell.
Right.
Yes, Lep Friedman isn't there anymore, but we never changed it.
I see.
If you really want Friedman, you have to go up to the Warwick Hotel.
Well, now, about what time, Mr. Pritchard? 8:45?
Yes, that'll be fine. I hope I don't forget and go out.
Well, Mr. Pritchard, it's been a pleasure to serve you.
Now, you're sure they'll come? I don't want to go all the way home unless there's going to be some entertainment there.
Oh, they'll be there, positively.
Well, that's fine. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You know what, Mr. McTyson? This will not only help restore the legitimate stage, but it'll certainly brighten up my house. Thank you.
And thank you.